to another episode of Keeping It Real Podcast, the only podcast made by real estate agents for real estate agents. My name is DJ. I am your host through the show. A couple of quick announcements before we get on with our really fantastic interview with Kaylin Goldstein. Number one, this is episode 15, and as of this point, over 2,000 of you have downloaded an episode of this podcast. So thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for sharing this with other brokers that you know that you think could benefit from listening to these interviews. Also, we have every month, Carrie McCormick and I also do a Monday Market Minute, and she is taking your questions. So if you have questions for a top producer, you can submit those through our website. Speaking of our website, which is keepingitrealpod.com, also we're on Facebook too, but on our website, you can find all of the episodes that we've ever done, as well as if you subscribe via iTunes or Google Play, they'll be listed in your podcast app as well. And lastly, we are taking sponsorship opportunities per episode. So if you have a service that you think could benefit from getting into the ears of about 2,000 brokers, you can reach out to us via our website, keepingitrealpod.com, or Facebook or Twitter or any of the other ways. You can reach us and say, hey, I want to sponsor an episode. We're going to be start doing that here in the next week or two. So thanks in advance. And now on to the reason you are listening, our awesome interview with Kaylin Goldstein. Hi, today on the show we have Kaylin Goldstein. Kaylin is a top 100 agent at Properties and a top producer recognized by the Chicago Association of Realtors and at Properties since 2013. She's a strong negotiator, has a vast knowledge of the Chicagoland market. Kaylin is from Peoria, as am I, and grew up around her family's business and learned about entrepreneurship from a young age. She attended University of Iowa and received a BA in marketing. Upon graduation, she was recruited by a boutique real estate brokerage, and in 2010, she transitioned over to At Properties and now oversees her own team called the Goldstein Group. And they have 8 agents and over $100 million in sales. She enjoys helping new agents train and develop into future successful realtors. She has been featured in Chicago Agent Magazine and Who's Who. And Kaylin resides in River North with her husband, Garrett, and their two golden doodles, Lolly and Lewis. Is that Labrador?
That is a golden doodle. I have a regular and a mini.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
You're my very first Peoria person, and I could not be more excited because I so rarely get to talk to people from Peoria that I didn't like go to high school with. So so do you go back for your reunions? That's the first thing I have to ask.
That's a good question. So I was bad and I missed the last one. I had an out-of-town client in. But I try and go back for Thanksgiving and the holidays and go to all my favorite restaurants. So usually a couple times a year, but I'll try and make the next reunion.
Well, let's talk about your business, because you started, you know, you went to school in Iowa, and then right out of school, it sounds like you went straight into real estate. So tell me a little bit about sort of why you did that and how that you know, was trying to build a business as a really young person.
Yeah, so very unique. You know, I started definitely at a young age. I had been interviewing with multiple companies. You know, they came to the campus and we met with all different sorts of companies. I mainly was interested in something in sales or marketing, which was kind of my background in college. Pharma sales was really big at the time. I interviewed to sell printers, kind of everything across the board. And then I met with a company called Home Scout Realty and had a few interviews. And I decided, you know, it's something that sounded really interesting. I liked that, you know, it had that entrepreneurial background, kind of make your own hours, you're responsible for your business. It kind of reminded me of growing up around my family's company and that sort of thing. So I got the offer and I decided to take it. And my parents were super supportive. They thought it would be a great field to get into. At that time, I had started, I think it was summer of 08, and the market had kind of started to transition. You know, we were going into the downward market. So, you know, we did a lot of rentals. It was very focused on rentals, condo rentals, managed building rentals, and that sort of thing. Most of our leads came from Craigslist. So I was meeting people, you know, I had never met before. So, you know, it's really interesting. I worked those leads and it all went well. And then through the years, you know, those people started coming back to me, whether it was looking for another lease or looking to now eventually buy and referring their friends. So really kind of interesting how that all started. And then I decided to transition over to At Properties in 2010. One of my other colleagues had just come over and I really had always thought their marketing was so neat. So I came over in 2010 and I started working as an assistant for two top producers. So I had their business to, you know, to attend to, and then I was still working my own. So it was quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting. And also, you know, sort of, I guess in 2008, the rental market was definitely, for at least for a new person entering the market, certainly, you know, the probably the most lucrative area or the most active area of real estate, you know, because of the crash. And then also at your age, everyone you know is renting anyway. So it sort of seems like, you know, ultimately it was a really sort of fortunate because, as you said, as you, you know, built these relationships with renters over time, they some of them transitioned into purchasing. And I think that's something brokers oftentimes, new brokers in particular, oftentimes sort of maybe forget or easily overlooked, is like every buyer was probably a renter at one point. And it seems like that would be, you know, in particular, if you just don't have, you know, 50 friends that are looking to buy and sell homes the day you get your license, which of course nobody ever has, it's a good opportunity just to sort of keep the ball rolling while you're building up maybe those future opportunities. It sounds like that's sort of how it worked for you.
That's correct. Yes. And I think that's really well said. You know, I see it every day. I think one of the biggest things for these new agents is just building their business and having people, you know, get to know that they're a realtor now, whether they came, you know, straight from school or most who came from a different career. And I think, you know, some people get discouraged because it does take a while. It takes a while to get going and to really work those leads. But, you know, I'm just so thankful how I started and building the rental business that I did, because it really transitioned well into people buying and now selling. So I always tell new agents, you know, on my team or when we talk, it's something to really consider. You know, rentals aren't for everyone. I know there's some agents who just don't want to do them, but sure. I find, you know, it's a great way to meet people and, you know, it's good income. So.
Yeah, I agree. And certainly, in particular, if you're a younger person like you were entering the business, it just seems like that's the, you know, sort of most obvious thing to do, because at least the people you know are likely doing it anyway. And the good news, too, about, you know, and in other cities, it's not quite this way. I know in New York, oftentimes the renter pays the commission. And here in Chicago, of course, the landlord does, or the management company, or certainly not the renter. And so it makes it, you know, a really nice way to slide into real estate, where you're able to work with renters, you know, in the interim while you're building up your sales business. I think it's very, very smart. And so talk about because now you have your own team, and I find that so interesting, because you're relatively young for having this, you have a large team, or at least to me it's large. Talk about sort of that transition of how you went from just you to now having, you know, a bunch of people working with you.
Yeah. So, you know, I stayed on for an assistant for probably a couple years. And then, you know, it got to be a lot working everyone's business and helping out, that sort of thing. I didn't want to lose focus of my clients, you know, who are starting to look more to buy and then to sell, that sort of thing. So I decided to kind of take a step back, and I partnered with another At Properties agent who's terrific. And we kind of, you know, worked together for a while and had a smaller division. And then I decided to kind of, we parted ways, do our own thing, and I rebranded. And so now I have terrific team members. My sister-in-law is on my team, which is super fun. And she met a real nice guy in real estate class. And then we have a few newbies who just started. So it's just really neat. It's nice to have the camaraderie to go to events together. And I just think it's so helpful for new agents out there who, you know, you go to real estate class, you learn all these things, and then it's kind of like college. You get out to the real world and you have to find out what applies and learn the day-to-day things, from contracts to inspections to getting the deal to close. So I think it's really been nice in that regard to kind of watch these new agents grow and see their business grow as well.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that it is super rewarding, and you seems like you put a lot of time in with your team members, in particular the newer ones. What are some of the suggestions you have for people who just, you know, have gotten their license, as far as how to go about marketing themselves or making sure people know what they do? You know, what are some of the suggestions that you would say to somebody brand new?
Yeah, so I think, you know, social media this day and age is so important, and I think it's a great free way just to really, you know, create a presence and let people know that you transitioned. So I really stress that, you know, just start, you know, working your social media. And also we have something with At Properties where we can send out e-blasts, so sending sure. that to, you know, all your emails of friends and family. Starting to do some mailers, you know, that's always great. I have one girl and I said, just take your wedding list and
right.
there's your clients right there to start with. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, doing things that aren't necessarily super expensive right off the bat. Like if it were me, I wouldn't go buy a billboard right away.
Right.
That
right.
sort of thing. And then I think, you know, also I've had a lot of success of sitting open houses. I've met some of my best clients that way over the years. So, you know, something to see if that works, and, you know, see what works for you. Classes are great, especially just learning the different systems. There's so many classes through the MLS now. Just really getting the groundwork in place so you can be as knowledgeable as possible and apply those things while you're growing your business.
Yeah, no, I love all of that. It's so interesting with open houses, because over the years, and at the firm I'm at, we have lots of brokers, and for years and years, everyone I talked to said, oh, huge waste of time, open houses. And then once in a while, I'd meet a broker who had joined our firm, and I would ask them, oh, how do you grow your business? Just, you know, I'd be asked a lot of those types of questions because I was curious. And once in a while, somebody would say open houses, and I'd say, how are you the only person everyone else claims they're huge wastes of time, and yet there are people like yourself who have had tremendous success with them. And I obviously, not every open house is created equal. There certainly are ones that maybe, you know, are going to produce better results. But I've always said to new brokers, if it was me and I had no clients or I was not that busy, I would probably send out an email to certain other brokers at that firm. Hey, if anyone, you know, here's the area I kind of specialize in, and if anyone's interested, you know, to if anyone would like me to do an open house for their property, give me a call. And it does not happen that often, and I'm always surprised, because I think, you know, it can actually be helpful. Do you think there's something you did differently to have more success with those?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a matter of reading people. You know, as they come through, you'll have some people who come through and they don't want to be bothered at all. So sure. I would say, you know, let those people go through, follow up. If nothing comes from it, I wouldn't get too down on yourself. But there's other people who are really receptive. I work a lot with, you know, pocket listings and stuff coming on. So often what I'll do is follow up and just say, hey, you know, if you're not working with an agent, I'd be happy to set up a search for you, and I have access to off-market properties as well. So I think just kind of leaving them with a little bit of intrigue helps
yes.
build that rapport. And then, you know, they don't think you're out to get them and sell them something right away, because, you know, obviously the leads you have, or the warmer leads such as your friends and family, know that you're out for their best interests, but people you meet on the street don't necessarily have that same perception. So I think that's definitely really important. And then, you know, just building a relationship with those people. I think if you're able to find something different for them or be creative and not just do the same old thing every day by setting up a basic search, they'll value that. And, you know, those people become loyal. It goes back to some of my rental clients when I first started. They just, you know, they come back to you when they need to move or if they can refer a friend.
Yeah, no, that is so well said. And I've always thought, or recently in the last few years, I've thought this and tried to communicate it. And I think I'm right. And it's it might sound a little harsh, but I think it's actually a good thing for brokers to hear is that I don't think the public needs you to just set up an MLS search. They can find those properties. And oftentimes they're going to do it. They are going to find those properties with or without your help. And in fact, even if you're helping them, they've already found probably them anyway, because there's a million ways to get to not necessarily get access to the properties, but certainly to see what's available. So I think that in the past, it wasn't as accessible years and years ago where people really did need brokers to find these properties. So I think what's great about that is it takes a lot of the pressure off of the broker to only just be setting up, you know, these searches, is to be able to, like you said, be more creative. It's like, hey, by the way, I have some access to listings that you probably wouldn't have access to. And I, you know, based on what you're looking for, I'm gonna do some deeper dives and get more creative. And so you're not just showing them the same things they've already seen on Zillow. I think that's really, really smart. And I don't know if you agree with that thought, but that, you know, the access to sort of the information isn't as locked as it used to be. You know, people can see properties and they are doing those searches, I think, but the broker gets to do everything else. And I think and also, of course, find the properties. But I think there's so much of the process that frees up time, I think, for brokers to really get creative. I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I think just doing things, you know, as differently as possible, but offering some value. You know, anyone can go click an agent online and find them. Sure. But I think just getting to know these people and offering something different, whether it be, you know, something you know about a particular building or a location. You know, for example, I always tell my clients, you know, if the property's on the L, that's up to you. But, you know, for resale, it's definitely something to consider. And they go, oh, yeah, that's a good point. So just, you know, putting the different pieces together and helping them make the best decision for the long term.
Yeah, definitely. And let's talk about some of the sort of, you do a lot of team building exercises, which I think are also probably really helpful in not just building up sort of team camaraderie, but also sort of the skill sets of the team. So you talked about, you know, you have a sort of a program you run called Fall in Love with Your Neighborhood. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we just started that. It's super fun. I thought it would be a great way to really jump into fall market here and do something different. So how we're doing it is every week, every other week, each team member on the team gets to pick a neighborhood. We're kind of targeting the ones they live in, and then some of them are in the suburbs, so we're filling in with, you know, some of their favorite spots. And they get to choose, you know, something really neat about the neighborhood, something new, you know, something they've wanted to try. So, for example, the first one we went to a really cool restaurant in River North called Barrio, and sure, we all had some really good Mexican food. So that was really fun. And then this week coming up, we're going to do cycle class in the West Loop, which some of us aren't the most athletic, including myself, so hopefully we make it through. but it's really fun. You know, we go, we'll do the classes or what have you, and then do lunch, and then we'll post about it on Facebook. So it's just another nice way, you know, to show our clients and our friends something else that we're doing and experiencing in the city versus, like, just listed, just sold, the same old property stuff that they see on Facebook all the time.
Right. I think that's very true. And it also tells a narrative of here's kind of, instead of only, hey, we just listed and sold this property. Now, hey, look at, here's what we do. Here's our personalities coming through in social media. And I think one of the mistakes maybe brokers make is only saying, just listed this property, check it out. You know, just sold this property. And those, there's nothing wrong with those posts. That's great. But if you're only doing that, I think it just the average person who's your Facebook friend probably just glosses over it. If it's not necessarily, if they're not in the market to buy or sell a home, they might not really respond to that, but they'll respond to, hey, we just went to an escape room with, you know, this other members of my team and here are some funny pictures. And I think that's actually really, and also it's fun too, but I think from a social media perspective, it probably gets more interest and engagement from, you know, your prospects and clients, I would think.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's fun for the team members. You know, we have two newer agents who are recently starting, and it's a good way to get to know the personalities on the team. And I think that helps. And a lot of new agents, you know, they're nervous. They're, you know, either leaving careers or, you know, depending all different avenues where they're coming from. So I think it's really a nice way just to kind of do something different from the thought of how am I going to get my next lead?
Sure.
And then, you know, like we spoke about, I think on Facebook, you know, clients really like to see about our lives as agents and stuff like that. It's fun to be able to relate and do things. And, you know, it's kind of like those shows, Million Dollar Listing. I mean, I have more fun watching it and seeing what they're doing on day to day versus sometimes, you know, the actual real estate stuff of it.
Yeah, and absolutely. One thing I did also want to mention is because you are currently rehabbing a house with your husband. And talk about that experience, because I think that's a really important experience if brokers ultimately are, you know, it gives them additional dimension and skill set. You'll be able to, you know, share that information with future clients as well. And maybe you start working more so with investors and developers because you now have this experience. But can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that's been like for you?
Yes. Yeah, so most importantly, we're still married. No, it's been good. We bought it not too long ago and we're rehabbing. So we're redoing the baths, the kitchen we tore out, we're putting a new one in, and then we're finishing off the basement. So it's been really fun. You know, I love to pick finishes. I could have been an interior designer in my second life, but you know, it's been really great to see what's on trend and try and put that in there. We have plans to Airbnb that property. You know, so we did a single family home, and that way, you know, the neighbors won't mind too much. So we're really excited to oversee it, and I just think it's a nice extension, you know, of what I do day to day. But with that said, you know, rehabbing or buying or selling, I just think it adds a lot of value to have gone through it. You know, buying is pretty straightforward. Obviously, there's some ins and outs, but as a realtor, you know what you're doing. Selling is kind of an emotional process. We did, we decided to sell one of our properties in the South Loop, and, you know, I had put every fixture in there and picked out wallpaper, paint, everything, and it was a little emotional. So, you know, I think it's really important as realtors to know what our clients go through, and it's just a really stressful process. It can be, not always. You know, you have your investors who aren't as attached to their properties, but families who have, you know, had properties in their family forever, it can be really stressful. So I think that kind of helps, and just to have a diverse pocket to offer to everyone.
Yeah, for sure. And I can ripple on that because I had a condo that I sold. I'd done the same thing, put all the fixtures in and all the finishes and everything over the years. And then when I went to sell it, and I knew I was pricing it more than it ought to have been, and I did the classic mistake where I was just too emotionally attached to it. And even though I knew there's, you know, and it wasn't outrageously overpriced, it was just slightly overpriced. And I said, oh, well, we'll see, you know, and I ran the comps and I still priced it above what I should have. And as a result, nothing happened for a few weeks. And I went, okay. And it was like, I knew better than to do that. And then ultimately I ended up dropping the price and it sold. But it was like, wow, if it can even affect me and I know better, then now I know, you know, so much more about what the average seller goes through, you know, the emotional part of wanting to sell it for a certain price, or because you have an emotional attachment, or because you bought it at a certain price and you want, you know, there to be a certain amount of profit or whatever. But boy, I can certainly relate to, you know, to that experience so much more now, because, you know, I was sort of doing it to myself even.
Definitely. And I think there's more compassion that that goes into it. Not Absolutely. That there never was before, but you know, I care about my clients so much, but I think, you know, just to help them understand where things need to be priced at and just understanding the process in general is so important. And, you know, even on the buyer side, when we go in and some of these properties need to be redone, some are overwhelmed at the thought of what the price could be of redoing a bathroom or a kitchen, and others are just, you know, oh my gosh, how much time is this going to take? So I think that really adds value to be able to give not necessarily estimates, but a rough idea of how much money out of pocket and how long it could take, just to kind of ease their concerns and see if they really can see themselves living in the property.
Yeah, I think that information is so valuable to consumers, buyers and sellers, to be able to know or to ask their broker, hey, you know, I was thinking about this. Do you have any information about, you know, good, like, should I redo this kitchen? Should I not? And certainly you can't always tell them what they should or shouldn't do, but you just being that knowledge source is so critical. For example, I did not know that I could buy a property until at least a year after I could have bought a property, because I didn't have anyone that sat me down and told me I was renting. This is a long time ago. And finally somebody said, you should buy a property. And I went, and I think I'm a relatively intelligent person. I went, oh, I can't do that. And they go, no, you probably can. And I go, no. I mean, I really didn't understand how a mortgage worked. I mean, this was, you know, I was probably 30 at the time, and I really didn't totally understand. And so I always think, like, you know, there's so much opportunity for brokers to educate their clients. And somebody like me, I would have been way too embarrassed to ask, like, how does a mortgage work? Thankfully, one of my friends who's a realtor said, you know, you can do this. And I was like, you'll have to explain that to me. And he did. And I went, oh my gosh, I literally had no idea. So I think you're so right about being able to, you know, provide that information to your clients. And this is also back to the rental thing too. I mean, that's a really specific example, but you know, if you have clients that are renters that are spending $2,000 a month, you know, on an apartment, they probably should be purchasing, or at least should know about what, you know, what it would take to do that. Obviously you already know that, but, let's talk about, I wanted to get to finish with this story that you had. This is so interesting. I'm not even totally sure I understand all of it, so I want to find out. So you were talking about, or you were writing us about a Lincoln Square bungalow that you had a couple purchase. And then there was some, explain like what happened at the walkthrough at the end.
Yeah, so it's super sweet couple, and we found this property. It had multiple offers, and we got it, and so it was so exciting. At the walkthrough, it was so crazy. You know, usually they leave the basic stuff, right, like the keys and the appliance manuals, that sort of thing. And they also, we had found, it was like a little cigarette canteen thing, and inside it had a treasure map, and it, you know, it had your X and your little dots to go find the gold or the treasure, what have you. And I followed up with them, and I don't think there was a treasure in the long run, but it's just so funny that, you know, you just find all these interesting things, what you see day to day on the showing, but you just never know what you're going to find. And these vintage properties are so cool. It was a vintage rehab. To think, you know, they've been around for 100 some years, and all the different families, you know, that have lived in them over this time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, super cool. So did the seller leave that cigarette tin, or it just showed up?
You know, I think it was left. This was a while ago now, so my memory is not the best, but I believe they left it, and it was something that was there when they had bought as well. So it's kind of one of those things that comes with the property.
Isn't that wild? That is really, really funny. And so there was, but there was no, they were not, you were, nobody was able to find a treasure.
There was no treasure. And I told him, I said, I think we should split this treasure if you find it, but there's yeah. No treasure, lo and behold. So.
that's really funny. Well, let's talk, where, if any buyers and sellers or renters want to work with you, what's the best way they should reach out to you?
Yes, yeah, so I am always by my cell. My cell is great, 312-909-1682, and email Kaylin at properties.com.
And that's K-A-Y-L-I-N. And then also you can visit her on her website, which is kaylingoldstein.com, which has all your contact information as well. So thank you, Kaylin. It was such a pleasure speaking with you. I really appreciate your time, and you had some great suggestions for brokers who are looking to, you know, maybe who are newer in the business and definitely want to get ahead. But thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a wonderful time. Appreciate it.